have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. I believe in God to minister to us today to help us to draw closer to Him. Amen. Last few weeks we've been dealing with some things and talking about the lies the devil wants you to believe and three things he don't want you to know. And then I talked to you last week about the secret weapon to use against the enemy. I hope some of you caught it. Some of you used it this morning. But if you'll turn loose and start worshiping God, the devil will hit the road. I'm serious. Amen. Anytime God gets the glory, he'll show up. Man, I had somebody ask me one time, say, where's God? And I said, wherever you're praising him. Got scripture for it. God dwells in the praise of his people. That's his address. It's Hallelujah Street, Glory to God Avenue. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to preach on that this morning. That's good preaching. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, y'all have heard me talk about this. And I was sitting there this morning going over and said, man, I've even used this in some of my sermons recently. But I'm going to preach about it this morning. See, I believe some of you have been fighting some stuff. Enemy's got some of y'all scared. He's been taunting you, making fun of you. I think it's time some of you stood up and got you some rocks and went fighting back. Hello? Listen, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together in Shaco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shaco and Azekah, the Ephesus Demean. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Amen. Go down to the 32nd verse. The Bible said, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would reach down, touch this house. Lord, make us to sit in heavenly places with you, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, I'm getting ready to fight. Y'all have heard this story all your life. Some of you heard it right. Some of you heard it other ways. It's kind of like everything in the Bible. They got their own stories, and some of them take on life. I had a class one time in a Sunday school class. The teacher got to teaching it that Noah got two of every kind, put them on the ark, and I said, didn't do it. And that guy was almost fighting mad, thought I was some kind of idiot till I read the scripture. It said, of the clean beast, he took by seven, a male and a female. That's 14. And of the unclean, he took two of every kind, but he took two pair. Hello? Y'all, some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Read your Bible. See, sometimes we get these stories going and they get so much tradition in them and we forget there's real scripture that they're based on. Now, why'd they carry 14? Because they could eat them. They had to have some left over to replenish the earth. Hello? I mean, if they just took a male and a female of each kind, if one of them died, there wouldn't have been nothing left of that species. God wanted to preserve them, so he cared enough to get it done. We've heard the story of David and Goliath and how that David went down and fought Goliath and killed him with a rock. And he never killed him. He knocked him out with a rock. Hello? Everybody got enough sense knows a rock ain't going to kill you unless it's hitting just the right place. But it buried up in his head. He threw it so hard. Amen. That ain't a bad shot. But the Bible also said he came up to him and killed him and cut off his head with his own sword. And when he did so, the Philistines fled. Glory. Amen. But now, I got ahead of myself a little bit because, you know, I like to tell this story. I think it's cool. He's out there having a battle, and the Philistines come down to fight against the Israelis, and the Jews are on the hill. You know, the way they fought battles back in those days, they'd have a champion from one troop go over and fight the champion of the other group, and the champion won, nobody else fought. That's the way to have a war. I think today they ought to do it with the presidents. We elected him. Let them presidents get together and fight, and when it wins, wins. Hello? You wouldn't have as much war if you had that happening nowadays. Them dudes would be having detente every day. Lord. Israel had a problem. Their president, their king, who they asked for. you know, Israel was doing real good on their own, and all of a sudden they said, we need a king so we can be like everybody else. God said, you don't need a king. They kept on till he gave them one, Saul. You know, Saul's 7 foot tall. They got a guy named Goliath over on the Philistines. He's supposed to be their champion. He's 10 foot and a half, according to measurement, if you give 21 inches to a cubit. Glory. So therefore, you got this guy over there, 10 foot and a half inch. You got a guy 7 foot. He ain't but 3 foot shorter than him. Y'all been able to fight him. But instead, he's on the back of the hill hiding. And Goliath's coming down every day and making fun of the children of Israel, mocking them. Just daring one of them to show up down there and fight him. And let's face it, who wants to fight a guy who's been training all of his life, who probably is almost twice as tall as you are, who's got a spear that's the size of a weaver's beam, which means he could probably shish kebab 4 or 5 Jews at one time. He ain't by himself because he's got a guy in front of him toting his shield because it's so big he can't tote it. Hello? And he's down there making fun of him. And finally one day, little brother's got to go to war. He ain't going to fight. He's going to take lunch to his brothers. Read the story in the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel 17, it said his dad told him to take some bread and stuff and some cheese and go down to his brothers where they're at battle. He meant to check on them. And he gets down there, and all of a sudden, here comes Goliath. And he starts mocking him and making fun of him. And David said, why ain't one of y'all going down there and whoop this guy? I don't understand this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that you laying up here scared to death of him when you know God is over here and he ain't nothing compared to God? Come on, church. See, some of y'all like the spies that went in the promised land. You see the giants and you won't leave in the promised land. I just soon not have that blessing. I'll stay over here and eat corn. Glory. Isn't it great there was one of them guys had a vision of God and he come back going, I'm taking the mountain. It don't make no difference what the rest of you do, because when I saw those gods, those giants, I saw God's foot down beside them and they weren't ankle high to him. And God said, if I be faithful, he'll deliver the mountain to me. David sitting there going, hey, you guys have lost the vision of God. You don't know who your God is. He's making fun of him. And about that time he turned to Saul and said, don't let anybody get disheartened. I'm fixing to go whoop that guy for you. Can you imagine all these big he men been training for war? Here's a little shepherd, 16, 17 years old, and they're going, yeah, right, you're going to go fight him. And all of a sudden, Saul says, you can't do this. And David says, you hide and watch, dude. I'm going to go take him out. Hello? Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Some of y'all need to think about what the giants are that you face this morning. Oh, it might not be a man standing in the valley making fun of you. It might be unemployment, might be debt, might be disease, depression, tragedy, weakness, rejection, broken relationships, an addiction or a habit that you can't get rid of. Amen. Temptation, fear, past discouragements, something in your life keeps pulling you back and looking at you going, hey, you can't do nothing. I got you. You might as well stay hid. You're not ever going to get any victory. You're not ever going anywhere. Nothing's ever going to happen in your life. But can I tell you, no matter what the giant is in your life, amen, it's time some of you quit listening to what he's got to say. Come on, church. Here's like, you ain't qualified. You're not good enough. You can't stop. You can't get away from what you used to be. You're going to always be. You know, we even got preachers telling you, well, you'll just always be who you are. Just get saved and just keep living like you were. That's hogwash. When you get saved, you become a new creature. If you don't, you need to work on why you got saved. Come on, church. I remember going to Alcoholics Anonymous to speak one night. They won't let me go back because I told them I wasn't an alcoholic no more. And the guy said, oh, you're an alcoholic the rest of your life. I said, I know that. And he said, well, how come you ain't an alcoholic? I said, I died in an altar one night, and a new guy came out in my body, and old things passed away, and all things have become new, and I'm not an alcoholic anymore. Glory. Somebody said, well, preacher, that don't always work. Been 36 years, and I'm still clean. Glory. Hello. Amen. But I can hear you shouting and making fun of you. Your life's full of mistakes. You're never going to do anything. But I think it's time to stand up, put your hand over your ears, and be like David. Don't lose heart. I'm fit to go take care of this situation. Hello? Come on, church. Are you ready to stand up and do it? Amen. Let me give you some points. Number one, you got to plug into God's power source. Hello? Listen to what David said in the 37th verse, 17th chapter. David said, moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Amen. Now notice something. David didn't say, God delivered my sheep out of the lion's hand. God did deliver my sheep out of the bear's mouth. He said, God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. And that same God that did it for me is going to give this Philistine into my hand. Some of you need to tie into the source and realize it is not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by the Spirit, saith God, and in him I will live and move and have my being, and by him I am more than a conqueror and an overcomer, because in that source of power I have the power to overcome anything that comes against me. Could you say amen? Woo. David understood that God had delivered him. David understood the source of power. Listen, you got electronic devices at your house. What happens if the electricity goes out? You ain't got nothing. Same thing to a Christian that's not plugged in. You ain't reading your word. You're a powerless entity that the enemy can attack anytime it wants to. If you're not praying, you're not plugged into the source. And because the lack of energy and a source of power in you, the devil plays with you anytime he wants to. But you begin to get the word of God in your heart. It becomes a light under your path that you will not sin against God. And you begin to pray and seek him and get connected to God. Then you got to realize, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Could you say amen to that, church? You got to get plugged into the power. Hello? That's good preaching. We've been empowered. Listen, the empowerment of Saul. Notice what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1. And then Samuel took a vial of oil, and he poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, it is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over the inheritance. Amen. All of a sudden, Saul gets anointed. And notice what happened in the sixth verse. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them and shalt be turned into another man. Amen. Now I want to give you the English Standard Version. He said it this way in it. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Amen. You know what that tells me? That when the anointing hit Saul, he became a different entity. He became a powerful person that had to be dealt with. Can I tell you, when we become empowered with the Holy Spirit, amen, we are no better than we were before, but the Spirit in us is better. Hallelujah. Come on, church. And empowered by the Spirit, I have the ability to overcome the enemy that has come against me, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. I am not going to defeat the devil. Come on, church. We got folks around talking about, I'm going to cast out devils. Some of them are going to be like the sons of Sceva. They're going to get tied up with something they don't know about and get their clothes took off of them. We got folks running around trying to find demons under every rock. Oh, there's a devil over there. I remember one time I was in an evangelist conference, and this guy said, I cast 28 demons out of a guy. He looked at me and said, what's your problem? You act like you don't believe that. I said, who counted them? I mean, you got a guy in the corner going, one little, two little, three little demons. He said, you making fun of me? I said, I don't have to. You made an idiot out of yourself. And he started talking about how many demons was in there. He said, well, Jesus said how many was. I said, no, he just said there was a legion, meaning there was many. Glory. Hello? I had a lady come over and tell me, said, you need to pray for my son. He got a chocolate demon. I said, you got a chocolate demon? She said, yeah, he likes chocolate. I said, well, I can't do that, ma'am. I can't cast out my own kind. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, you making fun of that? Listen, we got to get serious about this. It ain't demons under every rock I got to worry about. They got to worry about the entity that is in me, that when I get a power of God, I don't go looking for demons. I just tell them to get out the way. I don't want to wrestle with the devil. I don't want to stand up and tussle with him, or Indian wrestle with him, or arm wrestle, or do anything else. I'm just going to resist him and say, get out the way. I got stuff to do for God, and you ain't got no business being here. Come on, church. But notice what happened, though. The latter life Saul forfeited. God told Saul to do some things, and he literally turned and did right the opposite of what God said. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and the Lord said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, and I have provided me a king among his sons." And notice that that said, "For the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." Church, let me tell you something. If you're not moving in the spirit of God, then you're subject to the evil spirits of this world that can get on you. Hello? But if you move in the spirit of God, the fruit of the spirit is joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness and gentleness. Come on, church. Come on. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" You ever notice that one of the gifts of the spirit that is also a fruit of the spirit is faith? Which means if I'm moving in God and I really get in the Spirit, then I'm going to have more faith than I had if I'm not anointed and moving in the power of the Spirit. Somebody said, "Well, preacher," I had to ask me one time, "do you act like that Holy Ghost is important?" I said, "Let me tell you something, dude. I wouldn't want to walk across the street that I didn't know I was anointed with the power and the grace of God to help me make it, because I'm trying to get to heaven, and I want every opportunity I got to find something to help me get there, and I ain't leaving none of it out." Come on, church. Amen. You better know if I got to dig a hole and I can get a back hole, I ain't using a pick and shovel. Glory. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Now, notice this. The empowerment of David. 1 Samuel chapter 16. God's had a man who messed up. He withdrew the power from him. And then Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in that day forward, so that Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Amen. Listen. And David behaved himself wisely. The 14th verse of the 18th chapter. And David behaved himself wisely in all the ways of the Lord. Was he with him? In the English Standard Version, said David was successful in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. Can I tell you that when you undertake something for God under the anointing of the Spirit, you will be successful? Maybe not in your eyes, but in God's eyes, you will accomplish what God wants you to accomplish if it's under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Could you say amen? Lord, I don't know, church. Maybe y'all ain't seen that. Can you imagine old Samuel down at Jesse's house, and he's lining the boys up, and he's putting a sales pitch on every one of them? He got his oldest boy. "Now, this one I've trained to be a leader. He good. Oh, this ought to be the king." And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, "I haven't picked this." He goes to his boys. He keeps saying, "Neither have I picked this, and neither have I picked this." I'd hate to know God thought of me as a this. He didn't say, "I didn't pick him." He said, "I ain't picked this." Finally, he turned around and said, "Jesse, ain't you got another boy?" He said, "Well, I got this little boy out there keeping the sheep. He's an old, ugly, redheaded kid." He said, "He ain't much. He's just a teenager." Sam said, "Bring him here." And he got there, and God said, "That's him." He pours oil on his head, and everything goes wild. Come on, church. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Can I tell you that God is not picky about who he gets, just those that will submit themselves to him. And he understood that boy in the wilderness has already been alone with me. He's already learned how to submit himself to me. I'm going to put an anointing on him, and then I'm going to use him for the glory of Almighty God. Could you say amen to that, church? Some of us need to realize it is not what we are or what we have. It is our ability to submit to God that makes us who we can be in him. Could you say amen? Glory. Some people may still feel this way, but I remember my first revival. I had a guy come to me after revival saying, "I need you to forgive me." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you was the only one I said wouldn't make it." Oh, it was bad. My second sermon, I changed things around. My first one lasted about 8 minutes. 4 minutes of it was preaching. Rest 8 minutes off, because 12 minutes, I'm sorry. My second one, I preached for an hour and 40 minutes. Like I killed everybody in that building, but I memorized 120 scriptures, and I had to quote them before I quit. I thought I couldn't quit in the middle of it. I didn't know I could save some more for later. Hello? I see some of you looking at your watch going, "It's 5:10. All I can tell you is I'm just on page 2. See, I had to understand, church, And it's not my abilities God was looking for, it was just me. What he put in me, he could use. But I had to understand how to let him take it and let him use it to what he wanted to do and become submissive to his will. And when I did so, then I became successful in him. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. I have a friend that's an evangelist. First time I met him, I remember I told his pastor, I said, did the French fries even get in that boy's Happy Meal? Glory. Very successful evangelist. I mean, my Lord, he preaches all over the United States, stays busy, has church, gets folks saved. But the first time I met him at a home church, and he come up talking to me, and I thought the boy just completely lost his fries. Glory. Y'all need an explanation, not to see me at church. Glory. But when God got a hold of him, God began to use him. Amen. Notice this. Not only was the empowerment of David, but notice this, there's the empowerment of the Christian. When Jesus left, he said, I pray the Father, he sent another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to what he tells him in Acts 1 and 8. He said, and ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses of me into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Somebody said, well, preacher, I need a modern day translation. Well, that's about as modern as it gets. Amen. But I will put it in a local vernacular. I'm going to let power come on you, and you're going to receive power after that you have prayed, and the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of me into Alabaster, into Shelby County, into Alabama, into America, and to the uttermost part of the world. Can I tell you, church, we have been empowered with the greatness of God's glory, and it is through that power that we will overcome the giants that come into our life. We need to get plugged in to the anointing of God, and when we do that, we're going to see a change in our lives. Could you say amen to that, church? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talking about the anointing. Notice what he said. He meant, now understand something, church. Paul had the greatest theological degree you could have in his day. I get around people sometime, and I'll never forget, I was doing a Methodist camp meeting. I was sitting in the office, and this guy walks in. He says, what degree do you have? I said, oh, it feels like it's about 75 in here. He said, now, I want to know what kind of degree you got. I said, what are you talking about? Man, he went to running off. You ought to have heard this guy. He had a master's in this and a master's in that and a doctorate in this. I mean, he'd studied so much he didn't know what he believed. I'm serious. He had more degrees than a cheap thermometer. But he want to know what kind of degree I had. I said, well, I've been born again. I guess I got a B.A. He said, where'd you go to school? I said, Knee College. He said, is that Tennessee? I said, no, sir, down behind the barn there in my daddy's yard down there. There's a stump back there that I went to school at most of the time. Oh, come on, church. I got some college. It helped me a bunch. Learned me how to talk and got my English up to par. Glory. Come on, church. Professors used to hate to see me in their class. They knew that when I wrote something, they was going to have to mark it up because the grammar wouldn't be right. Amen. I didn't have computers back in them days to correct everything. Amen. See, some of y'all going, he is old. It ain't been that long ago nobody had a computer. It ain't been that long ago nobody had a phone. Something growing out the ear every time they get out of the car. Hello? But I noticed something, church. This is what Paul said. Now, here's a guy who could have, and this is why I got off on that. I got no problem with education. But I've seen guys with education couldn't help nobody because they couldn't get what they had in them out. Hello? Notice what he said. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Did you hear what he said? We've got to get plugged into the source, or we're never going to make it. Come on, church. Somebody said, what are you talking about? When I get anointed with the anointing of God, I can take down every giant that comes against me. I can get a couple of extra rocks in case another one shows up. I don't have to run and hide on the backside of the heel. I don't have to take the armor of a man that's twice the size of me, but I can say, wait a minute, I'm going out in the name of the Lord, and in his name and in his power and in his anointing, I am going to be a conqueror. Some of you this morning need to look yourself in the mirror and tell that addiction, I'm not held by you anymore. I'm coming out. I've got victory over you in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you need to get your fear and put it under the bed and say, no more am I going to worry about tomorrow, the next day, but in Jesus Christ, I've got power to have liberty and peace in you. Well, preacher, I can't deal with that. Listen, I'm not going any farther with this right now. I know what it is to fight addictions. I remember when I got saved, life changed for me dramatically. I had to change my vocabulary when I finally got one. Some of y'all ain't never had your brain so scrambled that your favorite word's wow. Basically, the only word was wow. Come on, church. You just had to be around me. Boy, like last 3 or 4 months before I got saved, you'd say something, I'd go, wow. That was the main part of my conversation. Because the truth of the matter was, I couldn't think of a whole lot of other stuff to say unless you waited a while. I got saved. I weighed 125 pounds soaking wet. I smoked 4.5 packs of cigarettes a day. That's in 100 Winstons. Now, I never threw none of them out the window either. If there's something left on it, I'd dump it out and light it later. I took pills to get up in the morning. I took pills to go to bed when I needed to go to sleep because I'd been up 3 or 4 days without ever going to bed, and I'd have to take some pills to knock me out. I took pills to keep going in the daytime. I'll never forget, I had a bag of pills I kept in my glove compartment. I didn't even know what all it was. I just grabbed a handful and take them. There's uppers, downers, sideways. It didn't make no difference. I just took them because I just didn't want to deal with the world. When I finally got up, every time I'd been asleep, I'd shake till I drank something. I know what it is to steal aftershave and drink it because I couldn't get it no other way. And I got saved. And this guy tells me, you got to quit all that. And I'm like, yeah, right. Get in the real world, dude. I didn't die. This was a 16-year-old guy standing beside me. He said, you're supposed to have. I took a couple of cartons of cigarettes out in the backyard, and we built a bonfire out of them. There were about 4 or 5 of us out there, guys from the church, who come home with me to help me, because they knew I was by myself, and they didn't want to leave me alone that night for fear of what I might do to myself. We burnt them cigarettes, and they got to shouting and running around the yard, and I shouted and run with them. I felt good about it. I got so happy, I went over and dumped a bag of pills in the creek running outside the house. I hope there wasn't nobody fishing downstream, but they might got more of them fish than they wanted. I even got to look around the car and found something that if I'd found earlier, I might not be here. See, I was supposed to be buying moonshine at the hunting club when I ended up at the church because I didn't know I had anything to drink, and there was a bottle of vodka stuck in the springs on the bottom of the seat, and I found it and busted it. I was all excited, but something inside me said, what are you going to do in the morning when you got to have that and you ain't got it no more? And they all left me, and I went to bed, went to sleep. And I woke up the next morning, and I walked through the house, and my hands were shaking. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I couldn't find a cigarette. My daddy smoked, and I couldn't even find some of his junk to smoke. There wasn't even any tobacco for me to roll one with. I like went crazy. And I began to pray. And I said, God, I can't live like this. This is worse than I was before I got saved. And the Lord said, just trust me. I'm not going to tell you it was easy. I ride down the road, digging in my pocket, trying to find a cigarette. I get to want one so bad, I stopped the store and I even bought some once and walked outside and I got them ready, got one in my mouth, and something inside me said, you're bigger than that. I throwed that pack in that garbage can, and they don't tell how many times I went by the next week, and then something inside me said, your garbage ain't run. I go by people I knew had something that I could get if I wanted it. And I'd think about it, but I didn't go. Years later, I'm frustrated, wore out, coming back from revival one night, mad at the world about something, stopping a 7-Eleven, and my favorite vodka sitting in that wall. They don't usually sell vodka in a 7-Eleven, but it's there. I was in Tennessee, that might be why, I don't know. But that bottle of vodka was sitting there, and I'm looking at it, and it's going, remember me? I can help you get rid of this problem. It's been just as easy to open that door and drink it. But I said, God, you got to help me. I've come too far to turn back. And something hit me, and I just eased on down the hall. Got away. And can I tell you, church, that same God that helped me is the same God that'll help you. If you just put the giant up and say, I've had enough of it, and get some stones and go to stoning them. Stand with me. Most of y'all remember the movie Forrest Gump. You had a little friend who was being abused at home. She went by the house one day and started throwing rocks at the house, took her shoes off, started throwing at them. And I never forget, he looked at her and he said, you know, sometimes they're just not enough rocks. But I like what he done when he got money. He went back down and hired a bulldozer and had that house leveled. Some of y'all need to understand, if ain't enough rocks, God's got a bulldozer. And if you're willing, he'll push that building down. He'll get it out of the way. Now, church, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. And I spent most of the morning rolling and tossing in a bed, praying about the service. And I had everything to discourage me and cut me off from this. I got here this morning, I wasn't real sure what I was walking into because the door was unlocked and the alarm was off. Turns out some of them, just like me, they got busy and walked off, forgot to lock it. Isn't it great we got criminals, ain't got enough sense to check it. Glory. But I come walking in and I'm like, oh Lord, help me. I called Jim, said, you been to church? No. So I got my flashlight and went through the building to make sure nobody was here. Somebody said, why would you do that? Well, I don't want them to get me without me knowing it. I'm going to find them first. What if you found them? Cross that bridge when I get there. Hopefully I can pray them through. Or outrun them or something. Got in the office and reading a book I've been reading all week, and I'm sitting there reading it, trying to get together to put the rest of the sermon together, and something in my mind said, you've been working on something all week long. What makes you doubt that's what God wants you to preach today? So I put the other book back on the shelf and went back to the outline I already had in the computer, been working on all week. See, God knew who was going to be here this morning. He knew some of you are facing some giants that are at the bottom of a hill taunting you. You can't get rid of me. You're not ever going to turn around. And nothing's ever going to be different. But it's time some of you made up your mind, I'm finna go take care of this and get plugged in and get an anointing flowing through you. God's ready to give you victory. Come on, church. God's ready to set somebody free. I know it's Sunday morning, but I don't know if y'all figured it out yet or not, but I'm still an evangelist. I go to church to have church. I don't care if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night. I want to see somebody ministered to. I want to see something happen in somebody's life. Oh, I've still got a message. I'll finish it. Some of you, you may not be here, but I'm going to finish this sermon tonight. Since I'm just on point one, some of you will show back because there's five more points in this sermon. You might need to catch the middle because I may have to finish it next Sunday morning. You don't want to miss the middle part. Glory. But there's somebody under the sound of my voice right now that you ought to be headed to the front of this building right now. Because you've been battling with something, trying to figure out how to get loose. Can I tell you, right here's the time to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not fighting it anymore. I'm not dealing with it anymore. God, I got to have your help. But in you, I'm going to be an overcomer. In you, I'm coming out. In you, I'm breaking this addiction. In you, I'm going to leave it in this altar. And for once and all, I'm turning my life over to you. And God, I'm believing you to help get rid of the fear. I'm believing you, God, to give me some joy where there's sorrow. I'm believing you to break an addiction that controls me. Right now, somebody ought to be headed to this altar right now. Father, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for your presence that I feel in this house right now. Holy Spirit of God, touch us, Lord, with your glory. Move on us with your power. Holy Spirit.